Today is Thursday, May 7th. We're talking about new data from hospitals showing results that even surprised New York's governor, and why President Trump is reportedly questioning the COVID-19 death toll. Plus, how both college and professional sports could make their comebacks, how the closest black hole to Earth was just discovered, and there's a drive-in movie theater series in the works across the country. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Note Thursday's bonus interview about the right time to get a COVID-19 test. Welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. 1.2 million people have now tested positive for COVID-19 in the U.S., and there are some new insights into who has gotten sick enough to head to the hospital and how they may have been exposed. New York surveyed more than 1,200 COVID-19 patients at more than 100 hospitals. The survey found only 17% of those patients were working when they got sick. Instead, most of them were apparently at home. It found more than 4 in 5 patients were retired or unemployed. New York's governor called the findings shocking. He expected to see a higher percentage of essential employees getting sick. Now he says this shows the virus is still managing to get inside homes even when people don't have to be out for work. He says it comes down to personal behavior. So Governor Andrew Cuomo is doubling down on his calls for social distancing, hand washing, and mask wearing. Still, some different data from around the country shows most people are staying home a lot of the time. The Washington Post analyzed data from SafeGraph. It aggregates cell phone location information. It found during the first week in April, when stay-at-home orders were most strict, Americans spent an average of 93% of their time at home. By the end of April, when some governors opened up businesses, that percentage did dip a bit. But still, as of April 30th, people were at home about 89% of the time. Not surprisingly, the data does differ based on location. People who stay put are mostly located in large metro areas. In less populated counties, people leave home more. In case you're wondering, SafeGraph uses anonymous location data from about 18 million phones a day. It defines home as the place where people stay between 6 p.m. and 7 a.m. President Trump is said to be questioning the death toll that's being reported. The latest figures from Johns Hopkins University shows more than 73,000 people have died from COVID-19 in the U.S. But a senior official in the Trump administration told Axios the president believes the real toll is actually lower. Apparently, some members of Trump's team believe the numbers are distorted because the government created a financial incentive for hospitals to identify COVID-19 cases. It's true that Medicare is giving hospitals a 20% bonus for treating coronavirus patients. But Axios says at this point, there's no evidence to support that hospitals are actually exaggerating these numbers. Which, by the way, if they were, that is illegal. It would be considered fraud. In fact, we've heard before from experts who believe the number of COVID-19 deaths is actually higher than what's been reported. They blame factors like testing shortages and inconsistent reporting from states. Critics also suggest the president is just worried about his own image. Either way, the White House is considering how to best report new cases and deaths. Also of note, the White House Coronavirus Task Force that we mentioned yesterday could be disbanded will stay together after all. President Trump changed his mind and decided to keep it in place. He says he had no idea how popular the group was until he started talking about winding it down. For now, he says the task force will be around indefinitely, but instead of managing the outbreak, it will start focusing on how to safely reopen the country. The panel will also concentrate on COVID-19 vaccines and treatments. Already, the group, which includes Drs. Deborah Birx and Anthony Fauci, has met less frequently recently, and they stopped holding the White House briefings. Now, President Trump says the briefings will start up again, but they won't be every day like they used to be. New rules are coming to colleges around the country. The rules impact how schools investigate sexual assaults on campus. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos announced these changes, and they're listed in more than 2,000 pages of new documents. One of the biggest changes: accused students will get certain protections, much like they would if they were charged in the legal system. So throughout the disciplinary process, they'll be treated as if they are innocent before proven guilty. And both people involved, the alleged victim and the accused, will have lawyers or other representatives cross-examine or question the other. But advocates for sexual assault victims say they're already planning to challenge these rules in court. They say the changes could stop victims from coming forward and reporting assaults. For now, the new regulations are set to go into effect this August. The NCAA is mapping out a plan to possibly bring back college sports as soon as this fall. It released a three-phase strategy for schools to get things going again. Just like the federal guidelines suggest, the NCAA will require things like a downward trend in COVID-19 cases and at least 2 weeks between each phase to make sure there's no resurgence. In phase one, virtual meetings will have to happen whenever possible, and any large sports teams will have to split up for practices so they don't gather with more than 10 people at a time. The second phase loosens those restrictions to 50 people or more. And in the third phase, gyms and common areas can start to reopen and everyone can get together again. But for the most part, this will be tricky since timing and severity of the outbreak will vary state by state. By the way, professional sports are in the same predicament. The NFL says it does have a plan to reopen facilities when local governments start to allow it, though the number of people allowed inside those facilities may be limited. The league will also require regular health screenings and safety and hygiene training. For now, facilities are still closed, but CBS Sports reports the NFL will release its regular season schedule tonight. All right, we have more news coming up, but first a quick break to thank our sponsor today, Blinkist. Blinkist is such a useful app when you like to learn new things quickly and work on personal development. You've heard about all the successful people who are known to read a ton of books. Well, Blinkist lets you do that as well, but even faster. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. I like to read or listen to something motivational in the mornings. I also turn to business-related books on Blinkist because I can get what I need to know in about 15 minutes and then start actually implementing. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your lunch break or while you go for a walk. When you need a reminder that there's good in the world, I always recommend Factfulness on Blinkist, or get that motivation you need in the mornings with books like Dare to Lead. Just go to Blinkist.com/news to try it free for 7 days and then save 25% off your new subscription when you sign up at Blinkist.com/news. That's B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/news to start your free 7-day trial and save 25% off your new subscription. Now back to the news. Facebook has a new global oversight board to regulate things like hate speech and harassment. An independent board will review Facebook's most controversial decisions and either uphold them or reverse them. And whatever the oversight board decides is binding, meaning the company will have to go along with it. Facebook admits it probably cannot please all of its critics, but this is the company's efforts to try to respond to public and government concerns. So far, 20 people are now assigned to the board, including a Nobel Peace Prize laureate from Yemen, a former U.S. federal judge, and Denmark's first female prime minister who is no longer in office. Facebook eventually wants to double the number of members on this new oversight board to 40 people. Apple will soon let you automatically send your medical info to emergency dispatchers through your iPhone or Apple Watch. Meaning, when you call 911, the data you've stored in your health app under the Medical ID tab can be sent over right away. The feature allows you to pass on things like your date of birth, medications you're taking, emergency contacts, and even your blood type or whether you're an organ donor. The whole idea is that first responders would be able to quickly get your info to help them make critical decisions about your care. Mashable points out this could especially come in handy for those who have food and medicine allergies or pre-existing conditions like diabetes. Of course, the auto-send only works if the users want it to. It's opt-in only. Also, you'll have to download Apple's upcoming iOS 13.5 update. As you may have guessed, companies that make certain cleaning products are busier than ever. In fact, Clorox has seen a 500% increase in demand just since March. The company says in 1 week, it sells as much disinfectant as it usually does in an entire month. NBC News reports Clorox now has 5 plants that are operating around the clock, and it's added more than 250 new employees, which is still not enough. USA Today reports store shelves probably will not be fully stocked with Clorox disinfectant until this summer. Well, since most regular movie theaters are closed, drive-in theaters could make a big comeback this summer. In fact, the company behind the Tribeca Film Festival is working on a movie series now specifically for drive-ins. It's partnering with IMAX and AT&T on this. They're still working on putting together a curated selection of movies, both old and new, for people to gather and watch all from their cars and all around the country. The series will also feature special music and sports events as well. The film selections and ticket details are expected to be announced in the coming weeks, with the series kickoff scheduled for June 25th. Well, turns out Earth has a new neighbor. Scientists say they've discovered a black hole that's basically in our backyard. By space standards, at least. CBS News reports it's about 1,000 light years away, and it's the closest black hole to Earth that we know of. To be clear, it's still way too far to put us in any danger. Still, it's about 4 times the mass of the sun. It's invisible, so astronomers only found out about it because they saw 2 stars dancing around it. And fun fact, if you're in the southern hemisphere, you can actually see those stars with the naked eye. So far, scientists have only found a couple dozen black holes in the Milky Way galaxy, including this one. But they're pretty sure there's a lot more. Maybe even hundreds of millions more. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. And today I'm having a 3-minute conversation with a doctor about when you should actually go to the hospital with COVID-19, when you should consider getting a COVID-19 test, and the secondary impact of all of this that many people may not think about. My guest today is Dr. Ari Bernstein. He's a board-certified physician. He has knowledge of COVID-19 symptoms and testing as an investor and advisor to Fruit Street Health and its new telemedicine platform, COVIDMD.com. So here's our conversation. Hi, Dr. Ari Bernstein. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
No, I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
So let's start with COVID-19. How sick is sick enough to go to the hospital?
Although it's a new virus, we shouldn't lose our common sense. If you have any alarming symptoms that are new, you should really think about what to do, like difficulty breathing, like chest pain, like really high fevers, any type of thing that would normally take you to ER should take you to ER now. It's not any different than any other time. I know people are concerned because they don't want to be exposed to sick people because then they get COVID, and that's causing people a lot of anxiety about going to the ER.
So we have these 2 tests. One, what I like to call the swab test, that tells if you have the infection right now. And then there's the antibody blood test that maybe can tell if you've had it before. When should somebody consider getting each one of those?
So this could be helpful and is helpful, especially if you have symptoms. Because if you have symptoms and you get tested, say, for the PCR test, and say you test positive, now we know, wow, this person really does have COVID and they need to stay away from, they need to quarantine themselves from other people. The antibody testing is important for people that say they might want to go back to work. If they get tested and IgM is negative, that means they're not in an initial infectious phase right now. And if IgG is positive, that means they had it in the past and they have some type of antibody. It doesn't mean they can't get it again. We don't know that for sure yet. We don't know. But that is helpful because if they tested IgM positive, we know that person definitely can't go back to work because if they're IgM positive, they're infectious right now, most likely.
Stat News recently reported that a sort of COVID phobia, the fear of getting exposed, is keeping people with, say, heart symptoms away from ERs, and that there's a real concern that this could cost lives. What's your take on that?
No, I agree 100%. It's a scary secondary part of it. And this is what a lot of the public doesn't understand. The hospitals aren't just for COVID patients. If the hospitals get overwhelmed, then there's not room in the ICUs and the ERs and everywhere else in the hospital for the normal patients, not just the COVID patients. So, for example, the really sick patient that comes in with crushing chest pains, having a heart attack, may not even be able to get into the ER if there's too many COVID patients there. Or the pregnant lady who's having a baby and is in distress may not be able to get into the ER because it's just overloaded with COVID patients. Or the patient that has a ruptured appendix, needs emergency surgery, they might not be able to find a surgeon. So, because they're all busy taking care of COVID patients, you know, so there's so many secondary effects outside of COVID, why the hospitals need availability that the public needs to understand. It's bigger than just COVID.
As always, you can read more about all of the news stories mentioned today at thenewsworthy.com under the episodes tab. Thank you so much for listening. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 a.m. every weekday. We'll be back tomorrow with the news you need to know for Friday and the weekend. Until then, have a great day.